All right, we are back in session. Carla, please read the next item.
Item 1018, accept city engineer's report for Providence Park Stadium expansion above grade encroachment.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a report related to Providence Park expansion, as the title implies, and it would allow them to do an encroachment of our right-of-way, and I'll turn it over to PBOT to give more details.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Bob Haley. I work with the PBOT's development.
Bob, I'm sorry. Is your microphone on? Can you see if the light is on?
Oh, there we go.
There. Yeah, thank you.
Again. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Bob Haley. I work with PBOT's development review section up in the 1900 building, and I'm here to present the city engineer's report and recommendation.
One moment. I'm sorry. Carla, are we getting the feed? Okay, our screens are just black, but if you're seeing it up there, I assume that's... There it is. Okay, good. Okay.
I gave you some hard copies in case it goes blank again of the PowerPoint presentation.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
It's good. It's working now.
Okay. So we don't usually see these very often, at least council doesn't. We brought two last year for an OHSU Sky Bridge and a small extension of Portland State Universities, and those were the first two in over 10 years. And one of the major policies of the encroachment review process is to discourage the private use of the public right-of-way. So that's why it's very rare that you see them. You'll see arcaded structures on East Burnside, newer ones which are now allowed without city council approval because there's actually design guidelines that encourage that type of development on East Burnside from about MLK to 12th. So the Design Commission is charged with reviewing the encroachment within the public right-of-way and making a recommendation to the city engineer, who then brings this report with a recommendation to city council. Design Commission recommended approval for this on August 3rd, and subsequently the city engineer's report was published, and now we're here today. So I'll go through a very short presentation. The site is zoned, as you know, it's zoned open space with a design overlay zone. The open space zone continues out into the middle of the right-of-way. The approval criteria are found in this June of 1982 encroachments in the public right-of-way. The approval criteria are all in Section 1, and therefore downtown general policies, downtown policies, pedestrian district policies, and standards for encroachments. Included in the city engineer's report, you'll find findings and responses that address all of the related policies for this review. One of the major ones for encroachment is that there be a public benefit. What's stated in the city engineer's report is there's two that PDOT strongly, or at least one that PDOT is strongly in favor of. The other one, I think, is more of a citywide issue. This is a $50 to $55 million voluntary improvement to a city-owned facility, Providence Park. In addition, we believe that we're going to have enhanced pedestrian safety on Southwest 18th with the additional of a sidewalk width widening from about 12 feet today to 17 feet. And within the structure itself, there's been an increased amount of exits added in alignment with the crosswalks in Southwest 18th. TriMet was concerned that after games, it just gets pretty chaotic out there with people spilling across the street into the light rail line. So we'll try and continue to improve that. There was discussion during the design review whether we do a permanent railing that along the curb line or just allow the Providence Park to continue to use the temporary railings they do. The consensus was that let them try the temporary railings and see if they continue to make that work.
I'm sorry, I hate to be ignorant. I don't know what you're talking about. Could you be more specific?
Okay. Along Southwest 18th, currently when games get out, the exits sort of bring you out onto the sidewalk. There's two crosswalks, but people tend to just go straight across, meander across 18th mid-block, across the bus lane and across the two light rail lines to get to the other side of 18th and to the light rail station on that side. What this proposal does is takes that sidewalk, widens it, continues the use of these temporary railings they place along the curb lines, except for at the crosswalks. So it's really directing people there. This will put more room on that crosswalk for people to comfortably move that way. But in addition, the interior remodel of the stadium has added additional exits at the crosswalk alignments, and this is shown on the current slide I have here, where you have the two circles is where there's been additional turnstile exits to leave the stadium.
I see. And then in between these two areas that are circled in red, there will be a railing to guide people to the crosswalk. Is that what you're describing?
During Timbers events, there's a temporary railing that they'll put up during the games.
Okay.
And there was discussion of making that a permanent railing, but I think with all the wires coming down and the mesh on the front of the stadium itself, that another metal railing would possibly feel a little too cage-like inside that sidewalk corridor.
Okay, I see.
Would they, if they wanted to have one later, would they have to go back through a design review?
I think if there's a permanent one, they would have to go back. It maybe is something as a type 2.
Thank you.
The other thing, just to mention for information, if you see in these slides pictures of banners and signage on the outside of the stadium, those have not been approved by the Design Commission. That's a separate type 3 to go back for signage.
Is that true just with even temporary banners like the ones you still go through design review for that?
I don't know. We have design review staff here who could discuss whether or not we have
it's
temporary
not
banners.
Critical. I was just curious.
I don't think they're temporary, though. I think they're intended to be permanent.
Yeah.
It seems to me when we did the MLS All-Star game, we authorized some temporary banners. I don't think they went through design review.
Yeah, I think it's policy because those might be in the right of way. I know we do it for the marathon and a lot of other special events where we allow banners on our streetlight poles downtown. But there
we
may be someone here.
Just don't tell Julie. We do it and we just hope she doesn't see it when she's riding to work.
Okay, I'll continue on.
By the way, the extra 5 feet on the sidewalk is because you're removing the parking, essentially.
Correct. We're moving the curb out 5 feet. So there was a sort of substandard with parking lane there.
And the benefit is that is a safer sidewalk.
Correct.
But where would people using mobility devices get dropped off?
I'm not sure. I think maybe right after this place, there's a curb cut and a driveway into the sort of emergency access between the Multnomah Athletic Club and here, whether or not that could be signed for ADA pickup and drop up, if I'm not sure. We can look into it during the public works.
Thank you.
Okay. Here you just have an aerial kind of orienting you. On the east side is Southwest 18th, west side is Southwest 20th, and Morrison is on the north side. This was presented as one of the inspirations for doing a major encroachment. This is the original architect, A.E. Doyle's rendering from 1925 that shows a fully arcaded structure along Southwest 18th.
Was this ever constructed?
The design team can tell you, I don't believe it was ever constructed. It was just part of the original design drawings, and it changed before it was finally constructed. There is hints of that on the Southwest 20th frontage. Mm-hmm. There are bays. This is sort of a cross-section. And I drew in the property line in red so you can see everything on the right of that line is what's the encroachment. That's the structure that will be in public right-of-way. It will be approximately 94 feet tall at its height.
And let's just to be clear here, the structure that is encroaching is owned by the City of Portland.
Yes. Providence Park is a City of Portland. It's managed by OMF.
Okay.
And so it will significantly increase the value of that city asset with this improvement. This, if you can read it on the top, is the existing curb alignment along Southwest 18th. You can see where that little indent is where the existing parking lane is. And the width of the sidewalk is 12 feet from property line to the curb. On the bottom shows after the curb has been moved out 5 feet, we get a 17.5-foot sidewalk corridor, including the curb. On your right-hand side of this screen is the existing sidewalk and street configuration with a 12-foot sidewalk, 7.5-foot clear for the pedestrians, and then a 4-foot furnishing zone where street trees, street lights, catenary poles for the light rail are located. And on the left side, you see the widened sidewalk where there's 11-foot clear between any structures and then an additional 5 feet beyond the structure and the furnishing zone. That'll be less cluttered because we are combining the street lights with dual capacity as acting as the light rail support as well for their wires. I can't remember exactly how many. I think there may be four or five total. The engineering phase will try and space them so they're aesthetically centered with some symmetry to the improvements of the tube structure coming down. It's also the encroachment itself, besides the tube, the building section that comes out, which is going to contain hallways, restrooms, vendor facilities, those types of supports. There's no seats in the actual encroachment. Those are still within the private property line of the park. The clearance over the sidewalk is a little over 22 feet. And you can see there's a pendant light system that will light it up quite well. This is just a drawing of what it will look like from the inside of the park. These are some renderings of the top view is what the existing looks like looking north on 18th. And the bottom is a picture after the encroachment and the sidewalk widening of what that southwest 18th corridor will look like. This is just a wider view of how it will be done. The street lights and the wire support system for the light rail are all beyond where these tie backs or these tubes come down and get mounted to the sidewalk. It's proposed to be constructed in two phases. Phase one will begin, they're hoping, this October, next month. And what that will include is almost all the work that's done in the right-of-way. We're moving the curbs, relocating the streetlights, the catenary poles. The only section of the encroachment that will be built in this first year, between October and March, is putting the foundations in where those tubes come down and connect. And those will be covered up again, so at the end of March, you won't really see anything other than just the new widened sidewalk.
What are they anchored to?
A very highly engineered deep footing. I'm not sure the depth of it will be below grade, but that's what will hold them. Phase two is next October 18 of 2018 through March of 2019. That's the work that will include the majority, if not all of the work, of the above structure over the sidewalk, and including the cable structure and the new sort of transparent roof system that they've designed. So with that, the city engineer is recommending approval subject to the following conditions. I provided a memo where I amended condition number one. This report was written 5 or 6 weeks ago, and we're taking a while to work things out. The original condition just stated that the applicant shall enter into a lease agreement with the city prior to issuance of a building permit. In speaking with managers of our right-of-way acquisition group and representatives from OMF, it was determined that a formal lease may not be needed and they may be able to accomplish the same thing with an inter-bureau agreement. And in addition, instead of having to have that agreement completed by next month, he said that's not really going to go into effect until the Timbers fans can actually sit in the seats, not until the, you know, the, in the season of 2019. That condition says either a lease or an inter-bureau agreement must be finalized prior to phase two building permits. So that moves it up from this October to next October for the city to negotiate those agreements in-house to make sure whatever they do is in line with existing agreements with between OMF and the Timbers organization. And I'm here if you have any questions. We have, staff question. From a number of bureaus and public to speak.
So I have a question.
Sure.
And because I know this will come up later, and I want to know what we're going to say in response. So the current existing design has an overhang, and it's fenced all the way to the edge of the overhang. So the public right-of-way is exposed to the elements. Under the new design, the public right-of-way is covered, protected, and lighted. Who is responsible for security in that new, large, covered public right-of-way?
That's a good question. I would imagine it falls to the city, but maybe someone from OMF. I don't know if there's agreements. You're talking about probably during non-Timbers games.
Absolutely.
Events?
Both.
Okay, because... For both?
Yeah,
I believe the Timbers organization is responsible for they have a crowd management program where they have security staff and others to help direct people where to go. During the rest of the time, I would assume it's the same people who have responsibility for activities on our sidewalks, which is going to be the city.
I think we need to get that clarified, don't we, Matt?
I think we need to get that clarified.
Okay.
And what the arrangement is with Peregrine and others, because...
You shoved him in. You get in there.
Before you jump in, since you're not on my screen, we're sure that the public can see it. Is there some reason we can't see it? Can we
there
turn
is.
Off? Can
Carl
we turn off
at
the?
Us.
There it goes.
Good shit.
Thanks, Brendan. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Kurt Kruger with Development Review of Transportation. Unless otherwise specified by city code, the sidewalk maintenance obligation falls to the abutting property. So to answer your question, the city would be obligated to maintain that right away out to the curb line.
But that is going to be something we'll need to look into in terms of the contract with Peregrine for this.
I think the maintenance agreement is clear. Throughout the city, the responsibility for maintenance, it falls with the abutting property owner. So this would be OMF for the maintenance of the service facilities. We maintain the streetlights. TriMet maintains catenary poles. But I think you were asking about security issues.
I'm trying to head off a PR disaster.
Yeah.
I'm a strong supporter of this project, so make no mistake about it. I supported it. I vote for it. I think it's a net huge positive for the city, for the people who live here. But let's be honest. When you create a long, block-long covered space, given what's going on in our community, it's going to be full of people who, many of whom will call it home.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are going to start calling us, including potentially the Timbers organization, saying, what are you going to do about it? So before we get there and while we still have plans on the table, let's talk about it. What are we going to do about it?
We do have a representative from the Timbers, the senior vice president of operations is here. I wasn't sure he was planning on testifying on this issue. And also, I think from the design team and the architecture team and the land use team, they may have some ideas of what they've planned for those operations.
I think it would be naive of us and irresponsible not to have the conversation now when we can't.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Particularly since the condition of approval says all areas underneath the arcade shall be open to the public.
Correct. My name is Ken Puckett. I'm the Senior Vice President of Operations for Providence Park, and I've actually run your wonderful building for 17 years. I was hired in June 26, 2000, so I've been through all the construction projects and been there since then. We have a robust security plan. We have covered areas on both plazas now that we take care of, we clean, we police. Our agreement with OMF is that is our responsibility to keep that area clean, to keep the sidewalks repaired, and we have done that for 17 years and don't see that changing, to be completely honest.
So is that your expectation with regard to the new covered area that would be created?
100%, yes. We have covered areas on both plazas today that we actively clean, take care of, police. We have 24-hour security at the park. We have 365 days a year, even on Christmas. The building is always staffed, and we're always taking care of the city's jewel. I mean, I take that really responsible.
Thank you, sir.
Who pays for that?
Yes.
Who pays for that?
We do.
Who's
Peregrine?
We? Peregrine does.
Yes, it's in our operating agreement with the city.
And your expectation would be things like the Timbers Army camping out the night before would not be shifted to this area. It would continue to be along.
Well, they do go around that corner on Seattle games, so I mean, I'm sure they'll go there. But the line starts around the corner, so it depends on how many get in line.
Isn't that though going to generate a question of who gets to be there if Timbers Army tents get to be there on game days or the day before, but tents sheltering people who, as the mayor says, may call it home, would not be allowed there? I think that's a problem.
Well, I mean, folks don't camp out to get, they just stand in line. Some bring tents, some bring chairs. It's kind of two different things, I think. And we normally, they don't, unless it's Seattle, they don't camp out for multiple days. You know,
I have seen tents up the night before.
Yes. I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, but the bottom line is you're responsible for security and maintenance of that area.
100%, and we have been for 17 years. And in all the different agreements, you know, I've worked when it was Civic Stadium, PG Park, Geldwin Field, and now Providence. So
I also would vote for you for a facility historian as well. That's
yes,
a remarkable run. Thank you.
Yeah,
really.
Can I, since you're here, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So I live around the corner, and let's say I go to a Thorns game or something. The one kind of choke point currently is is just down the street, you know, next to the Providence Health facility
right.
when you're trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's backed up a little bit.
Right.
And you've got people checking bags, and then you got to go through security, and there's two doors. Does this redesign improve in any way the access point along that street?
It does. I think we're adding, we have two current gates there. I think we're going to five in that,
okay.
in that area, and then we're improving that, that we're moving the Providence Clinic entrance back to add some more sidewalk and some
Good.
More queuing area in that spot. And then the other thing we're looking at doing is actually now if you get a ticket, you can come in any gate that you'd like. So moving forward, we're going to have, like, if you're sitting in Section 201, you'll be directed to a certain gate, and your ticket will only work at that gate. So that'll help spread out the fans a little bit more to the different access to get in a little bit easier.
Good. Thank
so
you.
So we've thought that one through as well.
Very good. And is there anything more to your formal presentation, or was that it?
That's it.
Thank you for coming up and clarifying.
Nervous, so
colleagues, anything more before we call for public testimony? Very good. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
I have two, and we also have the amendment still to vote to motion to move that amendment.
Dan, do you want to move the amendment first before we take testimony?
I'm sorry, what was it?
We moved the amendment to condition one.
Second.
Okay.
So Commissioner Saltzman moves. Commissioner Fish seconds. Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, please call the roll on the amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Now we'll hear public testimony.
Yeah, we have two people, Julie Livingston and Robert Butler.
Very good. Come on up. Name for the record, please.
So, hello, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Julie Livingston, and I am the chair of the Portland Design Commission. And I am here today to tell you that the Design Commission supports both the expansion to Providence Park and the major encroachment. The arcade is an excellent response both to the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the Goose Hollow Design Guidelines, both of which are applicable at this site, for a handful of reasons. Just very quickly, the response both emphasizes Portland themes and enhances, embellishes, and identifies the area. It responds very well to the Goose Hollow guidelines that are specific to improving the stadium area. It is coherent. It responds well to the guidelines' request for architectural integrity. The commission felt that this design, as proposed, is a very strong response to A.E. Doyle's original ideas from 1925 about how a completed arcade might look in this position were it to be designed and built today. It's just a really nice historic continuum of the stadium in this area. Probably most importantly are the guidelines B2, Protect the Pedestrian, and C10, Integrate Encroachments. The proposal does a great job of delineating the pedestrian zone. It creates a wider pedestrian zone. It provides weather protection in an area when it's needed. It enhances visibility into and out of the stadium. And it does all of this in, you know, what we believe will be a landmark piece of architecture for our city. So thank you very much. Be happy to answer questions.
Thank you.
I have one question for you since
Fish.
You took the time to join us. The last time we heard from the Design Commission about an arcade was, I think, along Burnside. And there was a lively discussion about whether it met some of the guidelines. It sounds to me like, from your view, this is really setting the bar pretty high.
So it is. It absolutely is. This is a remarkable piece of architecture. And with respect to the arcade district on East Burnside. That is a gateway into the central city. And I think it's notable that at East Burnside, we have a gateway into the central city that is marked by a series of arcades. They are expressed in many different ways. Some of them are very traditional arcades. Some of them are more an interpretation of an arcade. And now at the west end, the west entry into our central city along Burnside, we also have a new arcade. So it's really a nice way to bracket the central city.
Thank you.
One final thought. Temporary banners do not come into the Type 3 hearings room.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
I'm Robert Butler, 226 Southwest Parkside Drive, Portland, Oregon.
I guess she wasn't at the meeting, but I guess she wasn't chair then. So the conclusion of this design people was, why would the neighborhood want this arcade for what they're giving up? What's so special about it? That was the conclusion of the design commission hearing. Why? Well, it's because it's to get a $55 million project. You know, whether or not there's right-of-way taking or not, there's going to be a $55 million project there. Trust me, there's the money for it. There's the money in it to do it, and it will happen. Enhanced safety, I'm giving the 14 reasons why this is less safe. And I'm speaking to you as at the moment for a former licensed professional engineer. This report really sucks. I can't imagine any engineer signing this report as something as factual. So you have the facts in front of you. That's what we're giving up. That curbside loading and unloading for events at the stadium is vital. And, of course, the vice president of the Timbers will disagree because he knows more than I do, but I do more than he does in that respect. I've been there 37 years. Trucks, Peter Corvallis trucks are loading and unloading hood to coast, truck after truck load of materials for that event. We got chairs, tables, all kinds of things, awnings to put up. Curbside loading and unloading is what you need for that safely. To take that away and put it across the street is unsafe. Same for people that the charter buses that come in and load and unload. And look at your ADA. You're asking about ADA. Well, you shouldn't even ask the question about ADA, should you? That Providence facility should have provided for it. That ADA parking spot there didn't occur till a number of years later. Providence did nothing for it. They're doing nothing for it now. This project takes away the ADA parking, and it takes away seven other parking stalls. Then the architect says, trust me, when you walk down this corridor without the trees and the open sky and whatnot, you're going to find it a more pleasant experience. Oh, really? How do you buy that? So the deal is this. You're supposed to get a benefit for a benefit. A benefit for a benefit. The benefit we're going to get is that this is going to trash our neighborhood with the fact that the police cannot get people to stop living on our sidewalk. They're going to live there, and you can't stop them. State of Oregon can't stop them. No one can stop them. So we're going to have a slum there. The benefit for benefit, what do we gain for that extra right-of-way we gave give them? They won't answer us. I'll tell you what it is. It might be 100 more seats, so you might get 3,700 more seats instead of 3,800. That's the net benefit for a benefit? What a sorry deal. Sorry deal. We're going to trash our neighborhood for that. So, it's great. They're going to build it. You know what? They're going to build it. Trust me. It's a question of whether we're going to trash the neighborhood in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Colleagues, any further discussion?
Can
Commissioner Fritz?
Have staff come back up, please.
Sure.
So when I asked about ADA accessibility earlier, you said it would be addressed during the public works process. Mr. Butler's also reminded me about deliveries. Where else are there areas for both people drop-off and deliveries?
Southwest 20th has on-street parking that can be reserved for those functions. So it's just around the corner. And I think there's some service entries to the back of the stadium on that side as well.
Right. We unload everything. We bring everything in, food, beverage, beer, everything in on the 20th Plaza in our loading zones. And then there's another set of loading zones down along 18th. The area that Mr. Butler is talking about are actually parking stalls. So we don't unload and load trucks generally in those parking stalls. We have bagged them at times. We bag them during games and park police cars there. And then we also put about 100 temporary bike racks there during games. Those bike racks are going to be relocated along the Morrison Street closure that we do every game. So we're not going to lose. We're actually going to add some bike parking in that area. But the operation of the stadium, as far as those parking stalls being loading and unloading, is very rare. Down the street a little bit from there, in front of Providence, there's a truck loading zone right in front of the Providence Clinic. And then, of course, there's our entrance the roadway between us and the MAC Club, which we call Gate 35, but it's just a road, the easement road between ourselves and the MAC Club.
Thank you very much. Yes. And so would we then reserve the parking spaces on 20 for people with disabilities?
Well, every parking space is available to someone with disabilities. I don't.
We have in our parking lot across the street, we have ADA parking.
Okay.
Yes.
And that people can get into at the same cost as on-street parking?
I don't know what your on-street parking rates are during games. I think you've raised the rate, so I'd have to check on that before I can answer accurately.
I think, was it $375, something like that?
I'm not sure.
The stadium rate?
I think that's accurate, but I don't want to speak out of turn.
So what would be the cost of the ones that you have in the lot?
We charge usually generally $15 to $20 a space.
That's more expensive. Okay, something to look at, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now there's one ADA parking stall and within a pretty good radius around us. So
yeah.
Most of the folks get dropped off on the 20th Plaza, and that's where we encourage our fans to come in through there that need that assistance. We usually have a guest attendant meet them. If they need a wheelchair, they take them to their seats, or, you know, we have a pretty good program set up for that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we're eliminating parking spaces, right?
Excuse me?
We're eliminating some parking spaces.
That we are.
And you mentioned that you sometimes use them for public safety vehicles where would those vehicles park?
Well, police can generally park wherever they want, so
we'll
figure out where. I mean, we have areas along 18th Avenue that have we can park, or excuse me, along 20th Avenue that we relocate. We park at every game. We have EDU bomb dogs at every event. We park them there because there were trees to keep the dogs cool mm-hmm. when they stay in the cars, so we'll just have to find another location for them.
And the temporary barriers, what are they?
It's actually, they mischaracterized it a little bit. TriMet, along with us, put up a temporary cattle guards, is what you call them. They hook together their metal racks, and we put them out before game day and try to direct the traffic towards the crosswalk. We call it the Frogger effect. Mm-hmm. We're trying to stop people from crossing that street in front of the train. So along with TriMet security and our security, you know, we send folks along with Portland police that we employ at every game up to that street to kind of control that, stop any of the traffic we need to stop to flush out the fans. So they're just cattle guards, bike racks, that go up into place.
And I appreciate that because people do use that area as almost like a pedestrian plaza rather than recognizing it as a actual street. But
and this will improve the lighting and the flow along that sidewalk.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you that with the tree wells and the parking meters, you know, you're at 6'4", you know, at a good spot. And now we're talking, we're going to have 11 clear all the way through there. So I think that will benefit both game days and non-game days just for folks.
So in the event of an emergency evacuation, how hard would it be to remove those barriers?
Just push them out of the way. They're used quite a bit in a lot of large venues, the Rose Garden or, excuse me, the Motor Center. So.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Colleagues, any further questions, comments? Very good. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, it's nice to see somebody in the audience with a PTFC scarf on. And I'm also glad that we're doing this with everything being well thought through. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I appreciate the hearing and about the presentation. Your testimony, sir, answers to our question. I actually live in this neighborhood, so this is my neighborhood, and I think this will be a tremendous enhancement. And I think the public benefit side on this one is extremely clear. But I appreciate that PBOT has scrubbed this so that we're doing this the right way. And I agree with what you said earlier, sir, that on game days that sidewalk is awfully narrow. Although I think without the police cars parked there, it'll you have to find some other way to deter people from jaywalking around there because the there is a deterrent effect of having those parked police cars. But I would think it would be even better to have actually police officers physically stationed
at
the various places. And by the way, the reason that you enforce those rules is for public safety. You just don't want people dodging cars and MAX trains. So, thank you, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We are adjourned till 2 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.